Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Welcome, everyone, to The Awakening. This podcast is about telling the truth about what happens when religion harms, and the truth about the courage it takes to heal. We'll be speaking with survivors who are reclaiming their voices and their lives. If you've ever felt silenced, shamed, or unseen in the name of faith, this space is for you. You are not alone. Welcome back to episode 4 of The Awakening. We are so excited to be back with you guys again. I'm your host, Heather Foy.
And I'm your co-host, Tamara Buchanan.
And today we have an incredible guest with us. It's actually really exciting for me to be able to announce this guest because it's my bishop. He goes by Celtic Bishop on the social media, but he also goes by John Gee in the real world. So we are so excited to have you here. Welcome in, Bishop.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to see you guys.
I am so excited to have you here today. Oh my goodness.
I was there from the beginning, and it was like to see us here today doing this. I just have no words. I'm like, I remember us just asking, would you mind coming to our live and speaking with us on my friend Curtis's live? And you emailed me back. You're like, sure, that would be fantastic or something. And I was like, no way. And then
No, it was
here with
those are
Heather.
great times. Yeah.
And literally, it's because of Celtic Bishop that I actually still have my faith, because I literally found him at just the time I was getting ready to completely walk away and say, that's it. I'm done. I've had enough. I'm done with it all. And then he came across my feed, and it was like a breath of fresh air, because it was like, wow, like, this is Jesus. We can do Jesus like this. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
So, Celtic Bishop, you were raised in the church a lot like we were. So you want to tell us a little bit about like what your early life was like and growing up in the church and stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. So, I was born down here in San Antonio, Texas. My parents were from the north of Ireland. They came here in the late 70s. And then I was born in the 80s. No judgment. Don't judge me on that.
I'm an 80s baby too. No judgment.
I am a millennial. I am an elder millennial, but I am a millennial. So I grew up down here in South Texas. My parents were Catholics, just because of their background and where they had come from in Ireland. I like to call it, we were political Catholics. Like, we were, you know, it was like Christmas and Easter situation. And
yeah.
It was more attached to what was happening politically in Ireland more than it was about a faith. And so, you know, the church was there, but it really wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
And then when I was about 10, my parents made some pretty bad mistakes and had made some choices on their own. And so I ended up in a children's home down here in South Texas. And I stayed there from when I was about 9 or 10 until I graduated high school. And it was a great place. It was, you know, you hear the horror stories of children's homes, but I didn't experience any of that. I had, you know, people, the house parents that raised me are, I call them mom and dad. My parents, or my kids call them grandma and grandpa, right? Like, it, I was very fortunate and blessed in that situation, because a lot of people don't get that from that situation.
That's incredible, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So, but during that time, I was exposed, like everyone in South Texas, I was exposed to evangelical Christianity in the 90s. So we all know the baggage that comes with that.
Yes.
But, you know, I didn't really experience a ton of trauma. I didn't experience anything negative. But looking back, you know, as I've, you know, now deconstructed and gone on my own path, it's clear why to me. I mean, and all you have to do is look at me to know why I didn't get any trauma from the evangelical church, right? I'm a straight white male. And so, you know, I was what they were propping up in terms of, this is the pinnacle, right? So as I grew up, I felt a relationship with God. I felt a pull to ministry. And then I got into high school, and as a lot of people do in high school. I, chose a different path of doing whatever I wanted to do and, not really going to church. And I was definitely that guy that they were being, that the girls were being warned about in the purity culture classes. But so what ended up happening after that was, I ended up getting my girlfriend from high school pregnant, and I was like, wow, I have no prospects, no way to make money, no insurance. So I joined the Navy. So at 19, I joined the Navy, shipped out. But even while I was in the Navy, I served in the Navy for 22 years. But while I was in the Navy, I still felt that pull to ministry, that pull to help people. And so I felt, I can do this. Let me figure out a way to do this. And what I found was Liberty University. As we all know, maybe not the best place to learn about God, but a very popular place, and it was right up my alley, right? Like, again, I was the perfect fit for that genre. So, did my MDiv, went and got ordained, in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and became an associate pastor while I was in the Navy. Became an associate pastor, and then became I did youth pastor. I did pastor of counseling services when I went and got my graduate degree in psychology, and then got my license in marriage and family therapy. So I was doing that for the church for free, by the way. I'm not bitter, I'm just saying. Some people make 85 an
Cringe.
hour. I was doing it for free. Convenient. So, but that's fine.
I
And then
never
I
got
became.
paid either, Bishop. I never got paid.
It's such crap, man. Oh, it just irritates me. But that is what it is. So then I became the lead pastor of a church up in Western Washington. I was the associate pastor of that church, and I became the lead pastor in 2016. At that same time, the facade was starting to crack. At this point, I had my MDiv, I had my doctorate in biblical studies, and the more I studied scripture, the more I was realizing something's off here. The audio
Uh-oh.
ain't, yeah, ruh-roh, Randy.
It ain't
The
adding up.
audio don't match the video. Something is wrong. And, as we all know, 2016 was around that time, when the wheels started to fall off politically, right? And so now I'm in church. I'm the lead pastor of this church, and I'm starting to question at first, and then flat not believe some of the doctrines I'm required to believe to be the lead pastor of this church. And so, and I do not use this term lightly, in many ways I was closeted, right? I was at a point in 2017, 2018 where I was no longer believing half the stuff I was preaching.
Yeah.
But I was still preaching it,
Wow. Yes. Same.
right? Because I didn't want to lose my community. What will these people think when, what will these people think when they realize that, I'm tired of hating queer folk? What are they going to do when they realize that, I'm starting to think maybe hell isn't a biblical doctrine. Maybe it's not part of the faith. Maybe it's something that was added on later. What are they going to do when they realize that I think the rapture is a hawk of shit? Like, what are they going to think? These people are going to freak out, right? Like, these are hard. And it was scary, man. Like, I was in this rock and a hard, and I was really dissociating and just being torn up on the inside because I wasn't believing half this stuff. And it was scary. So around 2019, it was becoming very clear to me. And the cracks were starting to show. People, my preaching was starting to change. The things I was saying, I'll never forget. I preached about it was a gospel message. I preached about how, Jesus was okay with people having their own identities, and it's not just about identity in Christ, but it's about, he made us different, and so it's okay for us to be culturally different. And I remember, this is the first time I ever got called woke. In typical evangelical fashion, you go to the back of the church, you pray out the church, but as you're praying, Everybody has their eyes closed. You walk to the back of the church. So when you say amen, everybody gets up, you're back there to greet. Right.
Yeah.
And so as people are coming up, I'll never forget this lady walked up to me and she was like, "You know, Pastor, you need to be careful. That was a very woke message." And that was the first time I'd ever heard the word woke or I'd ever been, you
Yeah.
know, told that I was woke. And then COVID happened. And so a couple things happened. So I was still in the Navy, right? So I had two jobs. I was in the Navy and I was also pastoring this church. When COVID first broke out in December of 2019, the Navy put out a rule that said you can't moonlight. No one can moonlight, right? You cannot hold another job. If you have another job, you have to quit it, right?
Yeah.
Because they wanted to try to prevent spread, right? So I had to resign as the pastor of the church, which was a blessing in disguise because I didn't have, well, let's just be real. I didn't have to do the honest thing and tell all these people I didn't believe this shit anymore. I could blame it on the Navy. Well, I have to leave because the Navy said I have to leave. So it was like a very cowardice escape from my position. But once I left, yeah.
But Bishop, that is a very Christian way to do it, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's also a very Irish way to do it. I don't know if you're
Well,
familiar with the Irish goodbye, but
that
yeah, see, yep, she gets it. So yeah, I left the, you know, I left there and I really went into a very deep depression because I was losing everything, right? At this point, all the facade was off because I didn't have to keep up appearances anymore. And I was like, God, all these doctrines were done, right? Like, so I told myself, I said, self, here's what we're gonna do. We are going to rip apart all of this dogma, everything we've been taught, and we're gonna strip it all down. We're gonna strip it all the way down to the person and teachings of Jesus Christ. And when we get there, if that's not enough, I'm out, right? If Jesus isn't going to be enough for me to be a Christian, then nothing is like no amount of paint or fixing or stucco or nothing is going to fix this. And so that I went through the process of doing that. As I started to strip those things away, I found this really great book by a mentor of mine just recently passed. His name's Ray Simpson, and it was called Celtic Christianity. And the book caught my eye because I was like, well, I'm Irish. That's interesting. I'd never heard of it. And that book blew me away. I was like, wow, I can love Christ and not hate queer people. I can love Christ
The Desert Fathers
and
wrecked my world, dude.
yeah.
And I found that book before I found you.
Oh, wow.
That book wrecked me. And yeah.
And so it was a free fall at first. It was scary. And this is, I hear this all the time, you know, deconstruction's sexy and it's this thing that everybody wants to do because they want to sin. Like, it's not like I left Christianity and like I'm stepping out on my wife all the time or I'm doing a bunch of weird shit, right? Or it didn't turn me gay. Like, I'm still a straight dude, right? Like, it didn't do anything like that to me, right? So, I don't know, like the whole world was like, it's not sexy, it's horrifying. When you're faced with the fact that everything you've been taught is either a lie or it was a move for power. And then the scariest part for me, like I said, I didn't have any trauma. The trauma for me came in deconstruction because then I had to, one, own the fact that I had taught some really toxic shit. And that I, that not only had I taught it, but people had bought it, right? And they were running with it. And then I had to own the fact that in this new world of Celtic Christianity or a true journey with Christ, I now had to own the fact that I'm not the pinnacle anymore. Jesus isn't just concerned with straight white men. Jesus is concerned with everyone. And I'll be honest, that was hard. It was hard to give up power, right? But you know, like we spoke earlier, Heather, giving up that power now, you know, almost 7 years removed from doing those things, I've never felt more powerful than I do right now, right? by giving, when Jesus, when Christ teaches about, giving up yourself or giving up your things to follow me, to me, it was leaving power on the altar and walking with Christ. And there's never been anything more powerful in my life than surrendering power. And so that's where I sit today, as a guy who's, I'm not interested in power. I'm interested in people. I'm not interested in acquiring things. I'm interested in giving people a place where they can, if they choose, they can still go on a journey with Christ and not carry all that nationalist bullshit that comes with it, or that comes with it in our culture. And to realize that this is an ancient faith that we've really, in the Western world, have completely lost sight of the purpose of this faith. And so that has been the most powerful thing that's ever happened to me.
So when you're out in the public, right, and now you're no longer one Christian and you're another Christian, that word that is used is reconstructing instead of deconstructing. Do you feel that way? Because I've had people recently ask me, well, what do you think the difference is? And I know what I think the difference is as an atheist, but what does that mean when you're a Christian and you deconstruct and then find yourself reconstructing to find something different in a faith?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, in studying deconstruction and realizing the history of deconstruction and realizing that the philosophy of deconstruction isn't necessarily just tied to religion. It can be tied to politics, it can be tied to family value, it can be tied to a lot of different things. There's a sliver of society, well, not a sliver, is probably a pretty good amount, that would say you're never not de once you de once you start to deconstruct, you will spend the rest of your life deconstructing. And while I can certainly respect that opinion, I am of the view that to continually self deconstruct constantly with no foreseeable rebuild or no foreseeable future, where instead of digging down, you're starting to dig up, I think that that can be unhealthy. But I certainly can understand the concept of you're never not deconstructing. I think even in reconstruction, I think there's a morsel of truth in even in reconstructing, you're still kind of deconstructing. And
Because you're still
I think it's
learning
helpful.
and growing, but you're not tearing down the whole structure all over again. You're actually building back some.
And in terms of reconstruct, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, for every brick that you take away, for every foundation that was destroyed, you must be able to place something in place something there that is true to you, regardless of where that is. And make sure you rebuild your foundation without just completely destroying it and walking away and say, well, let me just start over.
Well,
It's not
and I,
that easy.
yeah, absolutely. And I would submit that if you're continually deconstructing, you get down to the foundation and you tear apart the foundation. I think it's human nature to have a foundation. And I think if you don't do the work to replace that foundation, a foundation's going to be built, whether you want what you want or not. And my concern is when we don't do any reconstructive work, that foundation becomes the very thing we tore up, right? Like we were talking, we're I think we've talked about this on social media, where you have people that go from being militant Christian to becoming militant atheist. And I think for me, that's what happens when you do not do any work through your deconstructing. You're just ripping stuff apart, but you're doing no reconstructive work, right? And so now you've taken the very thing you hated about Christianity and you've brought it into your new place, whether that's humanism, paganism, atheism, wherever you are, you have now brought that with you and you've become the very thing you swore to destroy. You become the Darth Vader of atheism, right? You became the very thing you said you wanted to rid the world of. And so without any deconstructive work, or I'm sorry, without any reconstructive work, I think that's what could happen. Reconstruct, and I think it's also important to point out, reconstruction doesn't mean I'm building another religion or I'm even staying in faith at all. You can build your foundation on atheism, you can build your foundation on humanism, You can build a new foundation and start to build up again, but to do nothing and just to continue to dig into the dirt, I think it create problems. And so my reconstructive journey, where I got to the foundation, I said, is Jesus Christ enough? For me, the answer was yes. As I went through the teachings of Jesus, now I had to re-accept some things. I did bring some things with me. I do believe in the divinity of Christ. I kind of struggle with the Trinity, but I do believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. And so I brought that with me. That's part of the new foundation. But as I've started to reconstruct into this Celtic Christian movement and with the teachings of the Desert Fathers, for me, the reconstruction was going back into the history of the church and looking for a place where it wasn't sullied by empire. And I found that with the Desert Fathers. I found that with the first
Yes.
generation of Christians. And so to me, that's when we talk about reconstruction, I think, for me personally, I don't really care if your reconstruction means you become a Christian again, fine. That's great. If that's what reconstruction looks like for you, great. But I think for at least half, that's not what it looks like. They deconstruct and they move out and move on. And that's okay too.
No, I often say that sometimes when I feel myself saying, I'm still deconstructing, it's because of the indoctrinated thoughts and the indoctrination that went behind, like the difference of whether there's heaven or hell, the Bible, slavery, pick your topic or pick your subject. Those kind of things don't matter to me. But when I say I'm like deconstructing and it could be daily or it could be the rest of my life, it may get farther and farther between, are those indoctrinations that you are forced to face once you have to take accountability and change your patterns.
Yeah, I agree. And I still fight with that daily. I think when we talk about we carry baggage into every relationship we go, and that's true of religion. And so one of the things that I know about myself, and therapy's been great, and one of the things I've realized about myself is that John likes power, right? Like John likes being in charge. It's nice, right? And so John has to be aware of that and continually deconstruct that and make sure it doesn't influence where I am now. Or I want to make sure that that baggage does not infect the new community, right? And I think that's deconstructive, but that's also reconstructive. It takes a lot of work. Trust me, it takes a ton of work to recognize when you're starting to do that. Understand, I always tell people you're responsible for your own triggers. And, I know power is one of mine. Like it. Y'all, it was really nice being the pinnacle. It's nice up there.
It is. There's
So
no other feeling like it. There,
no,
and
it's
I hate to say that, but there isn't. Like, when you got an altar call and you got people all up, like there is no other feeling like that because you did
Yeah,
that. But
absolutely.
that's not what it's about. And deconstruction has completely changed my opinion of that pulpit. I have so much more respect and honor for that thing now than I ever did before. I have so much respect for it that I haven't even stood behind it since I've deconstructed because I'm too afraid that I will say something that I should not say, even though I know what I should say now. And that's the truth. But I did not take it that seriously before. I did not. And it's crazy to me how that reconstruction process has even changed my view of the pulpit, And the seriousness that really needs to be had when it comes to putting people in positions behind that thing, because we see the weight of the harm that it causes when there's not the right people behind that pulpit.
So for you, we had talked earlier, a little bit about, the Celtic faith. And I want to touch on that a little bit because our viewers might not be, familiar with what Celtic Christianity looks like compared to traditional Christianity. And we weave a little bit of different things into our faith, don't we, Bishop? So
Just a couple.
let's tell the listeners a little bit about some of the Celtic practices and things that we enjoy to partake in.
Yeah, so Celtic Christianity, and we have to be careful with, I always tell people words mean things. We have to be careful. We even have to be careful with the term Celtic and what that actually
Yes.
means. I think it's important for everybody to, when we think Celtic, we think Irish, we think Scottish, we think Welsh. But we have to remember that that term actually was a Roman term to describe anyone north of Italy. So in reality, Celtic actually means anyone north of Italy, from Turkey to Ireland, right?
Yeah.
And so I love that about that term, because this is not a faith, this is not a closed practice, this isn't a faith that's closed to only people with quote unquote Celtic blood, because
Yeah.
Celtic blood would basically be anything north of Europe, right? Celtic Christianity in its modern form, this is another thing we have to understand about Celtic Christianity. Celtic Christianity was never its own independent church. It was really, what it was the Catholic Church made its way into the British Isles, and a very beautiful thing happened. It was very unique, is when people came to proclaim the gospel in the British Isles, they did so with the respect of the culture that was there. And that is
Yes.
highly unique, because if we all we have to do is look to North America to see how it was normally done, right? And
Yeah.
how it was normally done was by the sword. And so a lot of the practices of the pre-Christian faith groups in the British Isles still exist, or we still have them,
Yeah.
because instead of trying to subdue Druidism or subdue the paganism there at the time, they incorporated it, right?
Yes, they reinterpreted it.
They did, right? And so if you just like you look at the Celtic cross, really, it used to just be the circle, because they worshiped the sun. What
Yeah.
Patrick and Brendan and some of those did was they came and they added these, and they said, hey, worshiping the sun's cool. All we're saying is there's a creator behind the sun that is even more powerful. And that's where our main, the biggest
Yeah.
emblem of Christianity is one of coming together, building a faith, and honoring the people that are coming in. And so that was a
And
huge part.
honoring their heritage and their
Yes.
traditions. You do not have to lose your culture to be part of Celtic Christianity. We will
Exactly.
not demonize your voodoo or your hoodoo over here. That's your heritage. You are allowed to embrace that and practice that. That is so wrong for religion to strip you of your heritage. So.
And it's that stripping down, I think, that it has become the hallmark of Christianity through the centuries. And so we're looking for a new way. We're looking for a new way. And part of that is when you come into modern Celtic Christianity, we get our teachings from the Desert Fathers and Mothers, right? Who are African and not even close to Celtic, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of our base teachings come from the Desert Fathers. It comes from the Desert Fathers. It comes from Catholicism, early Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy, and then it comes from Druidism, right? And so we have these three different places where we have been able to meld together, I think, a beautiful place. And I think it works well in deconstructive spaces. It works
Yeah.
well for people who are looking for something. They're free falling. And I've had it, and it definitely happened for me, but I've had deconstruction described many times as a free fall. Right. So in Celtic Christianity, we're not interested in your doctrines. We're not interested in, we're going to teach the doctrine of substitutionary penal atonement. You can believe in substitutionary penal atonement and be a Celtic Christian. But you can also believe in universal
Happy you're still here.
reconciliation and be a Christian, or I'm sorry, and be a Celtic Christian. So what we're not interested in is changing your religious or doctrinal beliefs. You can bring whatever those are, you can bring them in, but what we're not going to do is make one of them more powerful than the other or give one of them preference. So that's one of the things that we try to do here is, if you want to believe the Bible's inerrant, I'm going to disagree with you, but you can bring that to your own solitary practice if you want. But what we're not going to do is say, because I don't believe that the Bible's inerrant, that I am not a follower of Jesus Christ. That's where you're going to get the business from me. That's true. That's true in social media. That's true in real life. And that's certainly true, in the community we're trying to build here.
Now, may I ask a question? With being a Christian or being in the qu Christian faith growing up, right? Do you find people find you different as a Celtic bishop? And do they talk about that versus the Christian maybe you were growing up? Or does nobody know that you're a Celtic Christian? And that's, I mean, not that nobody knows, but that's more of a personal or a private way of interacting with your maker.
Sure. No, I'm pretty adamant. I mean, as you both know, I have a social following, social media. I'm pretty adamant about my practices. I do find a lot of mainstream Christianity will hit me with the no true Scotsman fallacy, right? Like, I'm not a real Christian because I don't believe that the Bible's inerrant, or I don't believe in hell, or I don't, I'm reminded daily that I'm not a real Christian, and that's fine. But the
I
beauty
don't
of
need
my
you to
faith
verify
is,
my faith.
right. But the beauty of the Celtic faith is that's fine. You're entitled to believe that, but I am not going to say you're not a Christian. Because some of these Christians have lost their fucking mind with the attitude of the, my way or the highway, my very, very new, very recent form of Christianity trumps all other expressions of the faith.
Are invalid.
And I'm invalid. I get told daily I'm not a real bishop. I get told daily, which I
Oh,
don't.
you know the comments I get. They're always dropping Paul in my comment section, like,
Oh,
you're a
yeah.
woman.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love when they drop Paul. I'm like, when are you gonna start dropping Jesus? Hello. So,
Hello. And I'm always like, oh, good thing the American Celtic Church doesn't subscribe to
yeah,
that
you can absolutely miss me with all that bullshit, right? So, I think,
bullshit.
in terms of, do I get recognized as a Celtic Christian? I think a lot of times I don't get recognized as an actual Christian. That's usually the thing I get online is, well, oh my God, you cuss, or oh my God, you drink. Yeah, I do. Because I'm a human being.
I'm a human being.
And if you and here's what I don't do. I'm a huge advocate of, I'm not finding evangelical Christians going into their comments and starting wars. I don't do that.
Me either.
Everybody should be able to believe whatever they want to believe. You want to believe in a toxic sociopathic God that gets his little feelings hurt every time someone doesn't believe in him, then you can believe in that puny God all the fuck you want. Do you? But over here, we're not doing that, right? But what we're not going to do, you're not going to come into my space or to my people or to anyone for that matter and use my Jesus to push your bullshit. That's when you will get, a comment video from me. I don't chase people, right? I'm not interested in trying to wound people. But what we're not going to do, I'm not going to stand by while you wound others in my Christ's name. So you're definitely going to get the fucking business from me, right? So that, I mean, when I started TikTok, my whole purpose, guys, my whole purpose was to just share the Celtic Christian journey, share how awesome it is and how beautiful it is. And that is not what happened. What happened was people coming in my comments, and I
Acting
was
a
in,
fool,
I,
acting a damn fool,
yeah,
Bishop.
talking to me like, I'm like, look,
Like you don't know anything.
yeah,
Like,
I'm like,
and they
listen to
are
me.
so much smarter. Oh God.
Yeah, number one, I have been to school and I've been to your schools, right? I have my MDiv from Liberty. I have a PhD from a hyper evangelical university. Like, I've been in your schools. So, one, we're not going to talk to me like I'm short or like I don't know anything, right? And two, I was in the Navy for 22 years. We have potty mouths. I don't think for one second I'm not going to tell you to get fucked, right? Like, and I'm going to say it just like that because I'm sorry. That's how I talk. That's never going to change. That's who I am. And that, you know, I've said this before. This is why I'm not behind a pulpit anymore because I say poo-poo words and I'm not going to apologize for that shit.
I'm not palatable for the pulpit. I'm just not. And I don't want to be palatable for the pulpit because if I ever have to shrink myself like that again, there's something seriously wrong. Like, I won't do it, you know? Finding this version of myself has changed my life. And I wouldn't ever go back to that box again. That's crazy.
Absolutely. So to your question, do I get recognized as a Celtic Christian? Often. Do I get recognized as a heretic? I love being called a heretic.
Me too.
Nothing makes me happier because a heretic means I just stand opposed to your beliefs, right? And if your beliefs is hating people, 100% I'm your fucking heretic. If a po you know it, hating someone because they don't believe in my God, 100% I'm your fucking heretic. And I don't mind standing in complete antithesis to you because you're a piece of shit. There's no other way to say that. If you have to use religion or you have to use my God to put other people beneath you or under your feet, you're a piece of shit.
And Bishop, what I was like referring to was the people who are close to you, like that immediate family that know that you're, you know what I'm saying? That you, what you were like as a devout Christian. And then is there a difference or do they see a difference? Not necessarily do they know in the bigger
I'm
picture.
sorry. I'm sorry I derailed the whole question, but I think it was fun. I had a great journey. So,
I was loving it.
so like for example, no one else in this house that I'm in right three of my five kids and my wife, no one else is a Celtic Christian.
Same. I'm the
Right?
only one who still believes after deconstructing in my home.
Yeah.
I'm the
Now
only
they
one.
all believe, right? Like my wife is, you know, she grew up a Lutheran and she kind of holds some of those Lutheran beliefs. My kids, I don't know what they believe. And quite frankly, I don't, it's not that I don't care. It's my job is to make them not shitty people. And I've accomplished that. And
And
are they
I think that they should
exposed?
have the freedom to believe whatever they want.
Yeah.
So, you
Are
know,
they
I don't push
exposed to
anything on them.
Christianity? 100%. Do they go to church with me? Yes, they do. You know, are they aware of, you know, this whole altar situation that sits here in my you know, are they aware that, you know, dad has kind of a weird Christianity that's not like, yeah, they know all of that. But what we're not going to do is do the same thing that I was doing as an evangelical. If you don't believe in Celtic Christianity, then you're not a real Christian, right? Like, so yeah, oh, they know. They know, like my in-laws who are like, well, we'll just say we don't see eye to eye on
Okay, I
politics.
gotcha.
They know John's weird, right?
They know John's
That's
weird.
okay. One of the most affirming things my wife ever said to me was, is that, you know, I do incense here and this is a house, right? So it makes the whole house
Oh yeah,
stink
it
like
does.
frankincense and or whatever it is I'm doing over here. And so sometimes I would walk down and I would tell my wife, I would say, hey, Jamie, I'm sorry for being weird, but I'm about to do some incense. And I think on the third or fourth time I said that, she walked up to me. She was like, stop. Stop saying that. You're not weird. It's not weird. You need to get out of that. That is what I carried over because it was weird. It would have been weird when I was an evangelical pastor. And so I've carried it over as weird. And Jamie's like, it's not weird. It's who you are. You know, stop. She's like, stop fucking calling it weird. It's not fucking weird. Right?
That's good.
So yeah, no, she keeps me in line. It's fine.
that
Yep. Yeah, and I deconstructed and I didn't go get like four more wives or want to sleep with
Exactly.
everyone
You know
like
what?
they
I
warned me it was going to
deconstructed
happen.
and I kept my husband, and it actually made my marriage better, Bishop. Like, it's
Weird,
better
right?
than it's ever been. I mean, it's crazy. We're getting ready to go on 28 years this
Oh,
year.
that's
It's
so great.
crazy. So, We're getting ready to wrap this show up. So, if you had any type of advice or words of wisdom or encouragement for our listeners today, what would you want to share with them?
I would want to share with anyone who's struggling with any type of religious trauma. I don't care what your pastor says. If you need therapy, go get therapy. Your pastor's not a therapist, right? I don't care if they went to John Bob's Biblical School of Counseling and Teaching. They're not a therapist. They're not equipped to handle what you're going through. Go
Yeah.
get help. It is
From a
okay.
certified therapist,
Yes.
not a counselor. Biblical counselors do not count.
No. Every state has licensure requirements for therapists. Don't get counseling. You need therapy. There's a difference.
Yes.
You need therapy, and it's okay, right? Like, I still have a therapist, right? For a
Yeah.
myriad of different things. Maybe not deconstruction, but for a lot of things. It's okay to get help. And the other thing I would say is if you're in a place now where you're starting to question, I want you to know questions are okay. Questions are beautiful. And if your pastor or your church does not like the idea that you're asking questions, baby, you need to run. You need to get out of
Yes.
that environment because anyone, I say this all the time, if you serve a God that can't handle questions, when that same God has really done nothing to prove their existence
Yeah.
scientifically, then you serve a shitty God.
Yep.
If God's not big enough for questions, then God's not God.
Right.
So, question. I mean, Jesus himself said, ask, seek, knock,
Yes, he even
continue
said,
to
"You have heard
question.
it said, but I say unto you," he was the first
Exactly.
reformer of the faith. Ask
Exactly.
questions.
We're a faith born out of deconstruction. Christianity is a
Yes.
deconstruction of first century Judaism. So we should be asking questions. We should consistently be asking questions. And for pastors out there, if people are asking questions, it's okay to say, I don't know. Some of the best answers I've ever given to anyone have been, I don't know, but we'll find out together, right?
Yes.
Let's look at it.
We don't make stuff up and pretend.
Right. And I think, you know, when we're deconstructing out of these really high control environments, we have to remember that high control environments come with a lot of certitude. They have to be
Yeah.
certain to control people. And so
Yes.
things that we used to be so certain about, we just don't know. And it's first, it's scary. It's terrifying to not be certain. But then it's just so fucking beautiful. It's so beautiful to sit out here
It
and go,
is.
I don't fucking know. But you know what? We're gonna find out together. Or you know what? Maybe
Exactly.
we're gonna go through this whole life and never figure it out.
Never know the answer. And that's okay. We're
That's okay.
okay with that.
Like
And we're
how
still happy as hell.
exactly.
And I
So,
can
you know,
be
I would I
okay
that
with that and still be an atheist. You know, like, it's like I can say, I don't know what that did, and still fundamentally be like, I'm not agnostic, I'm an atheist. And they're like, how can you be an atheist when you say you don't know? I'm like, because Christians should be able to say, I don't know. Yes. There
Yeah, I
are
think
not
some of the
enough Christians that are not honest. They're just not
Yeah.
honest about what they can't prove. Okay.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. There is nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah. I mean that should be the place where we start from. And I think that's a deep ancient Christian is that we don't know. If we start from, I don't know, when we start from a place of certitude, we become
Yeah.
cultish.
Yes.
When we start from a place of, you know, I just don't know, and I'm trying to figure it out, I think that's a healthier place. And if Christianity could just figure that out, but unfortunately, modern Western Christianity is never going to figure that out because it is
No.
so intertwined with power and the need for
Yes.
social construction, boundaries, identity politics, and maintenance that it doesn't want unknowns. It has to have
No.
certitude.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's what drives people away.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, because we're just not honest. You know, how do
Yeah.
you know God is real? I don't. I feel it. Like I really
Yeah.
feel it, Heather. I feel that
Yeah.
Jesus is the Son of God. I can't prove it. I
No.
have no proof. I got
Yeah.
nothing.
And you won't hear a regular Western Christian say that. Like, they will
Oh,
not
you'll
be
be.
honest. Oh my God. Clutching the pearls.
Yeah, no,
You just said, you
what you'll
just
get
said,
is,
he's not real. You don't know. You don't know. What? How do
typically
you
what you'll
not
get
know?
is you'll get
You can't
the,
call yourself a Christian and not
yeah.
know.
No, you'll get the, well, you're not really a Christian.
Yeah.
Because that's certitude, right?
Because how
Again,
dare
that's,
you question God?
yeah,
How
you
dare
can't
you
question God.
question God?
Are you
You're not
serious?
allowed to do that.
Yeah, no, you're
No.
not.
You're supposed to take those questions to the altar and stay there or give it over to Jesus, like lay it on the altar, and then wait for him to answer you to send you signs and wonders.
Yeah. Well, we
And
don't do
you
that
know,
here.
no. Because
You had to see my
it's
face.
I was like cringing a
Yeah.
little bit.
No, we no, in Celtic Christianity, we make you sit in your bullshit. We make you
Yeah.
sit there and you don't get to just hand it over to God. You don't get to just leave it at the altar. Oh
No.
no, friend. You're gonna sit there in that muck and that mire and you're gonna figure it out. Maybe you don't
Yep.
figure it out.
You will not heal it until you face it. So until you're ready to walk through that, you're not going to heal. I'm not going to play games with you. I'm not going to pat you, like coddle you, but this is the reality of it, you know? So you can sit here and continue to wallow as long as you need to, but that's still going to be waiting for you. And until you're ready to face it, it won't get better. So you can choose. You can face it today or you can face it a week from now, but you're still going to have to face it. That's how healing comes. You got to go through, honey. You got to go through. And it's
Right.
not easy. No. And Heather, if I could just interject just a moment, but you know, I've been going through EMDR and trauma therapy, and I thought it was, you know, I have the book knowledge. I've gone to school, I've studied, I've been in this community. I understand the words, the code words, everything, or at least I thought I did. Until I walked into that office and I don't know, but she switched everything up on me. And I just kind of like looked at her like, what just happened here? And she said, you haven't even began to start therapy. You just did everything you could to keep it stuffed because that's what you know how to
Wow.
do. And I was like, oh, okay. So now she's seen me 2 times and thinks she knows me.
Oh boy, yeah.
Because she
Oh
didn't
yeah.
come back right when I got back from South Florida, because when I went down there, I went to the cult I was raised in. And I
Yeah.
came back, she was like, how are you doing? And I said, I think I'm okay. And then
Yeah.
like 2 days later, I called her and I was like, that was a lie. That was a total lie. When can you see me?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I tell people often, there's a book. It's a very old book. It's called The Cloud of Unknowing. And I tell people to read it because one of the tenets of The Cloud of Unknowing is the more you think you know, the more you realize you don't know, right?
Yeah.
So I think what I've learned in my walk with Christ is the closer I draw in unity with Christ, the less answers I have and the more questions I have.
Yes.
And I think that's a healthy faith. I think a healthy faith is not knowing everything because once you think you know everything, you don't know shit.
Yeah, and you stop growing. You stop
Yeah.
growing.
And that's not just religion. I think that's true in every aspect of the human experience.
Yeah.
You know, this
Everything.
attitude of, yeah, this attitude of I know everything. You don't know shit. You think you know,
Yeah.
but you don't know. And being uncomfortable in the unknowing, has been beautiful. It's been great.
Well, Bishop, thank you so much for being here on the show with us today. We are so grateful to have you. You have a couple of books that are out there too. Can you tell us just a little bit about those books? Because I didn't mention
Sure.
them until now.
Yeah, I've written a couple things. Yeah, I have a couple of books out there. You can get them on Amazon, if you're into those kinds of things. Recently, I've done a book called Redeeming the River, which talks about bringing back nature into a healthy Christian practice. I have a book called The Celtic Journey with Christ, which discusses the seven tenets of Celtic Christianity and kind of, the journey of moving towards more unity with Christ. And then I did one which it was way out of left field for me, but it's called Exchanging Greenness for Whiteness. And it talks about the Irish American experience in this country and how we went from pre-Civil War as not even being considered white. We were called mulattoes,
Yeah.
to where we are now, which is super white and very enmeshed into the power structure. So I have
Yeah.
those books. And then I also have one that I did called Timeless Theology, which is a real big, super nerdy read. If you're into
Well,
that kind of thing. So, yeah, so that's
I
what
will
I got
put
out there.
your links in the show notes. You are on TikTok, Instagram, on various social media platforms. So I will put your links in the show notes so the listeners can find your books. And if they want to check out the Ancient Celtic Church, they can find us at ancientceltic.info on the
Excellent.
internet there, because we do have a website. So if you guys are interested in the ancient Celtic faith, you know where to find us. So thank you again for being here with us today. We appreciate you so stinking much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Bishop Celtic. You know you're a favorite of mine, and any chance that I get to interact and talk with you is definitely the utmost pleasure of mine. Thank you.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.